14:33. The journey is so far halfway. When you have 2 weeks coming, Ramadan will have been completed, inshallah. So our ayah of continuation is ayah number 189. Let's have the recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملت حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوى الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين.
نعم.
فلما آتاهما صالحا جعل له شركا فيما آتاهما فتعالى الله عما يشركون.
قال الله تبارك وتعالى: هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها فلما تغشاها حملت حملا خفيفا فمرت به فلما أثقلت دعوى الله ربهما لئن آتيتنا صالحا لنكونن من الشاكرين. الله أكبر. هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. It is He, that is Allah, that created you from one single soul. نفس واحدة. And that soul is Adam, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وجعل منها زوجها. From each, He placed each mate. Meaning from Adam, he created and placed his wife. Who is that? Hawa. لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. So as to have sukoon with it. You see, sukoon means comfort. Comforting settlement. So that by means of his wife, you will have comfort, settlement, and anything that will give him the ability to be at ease. فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا. When he meets his wife, that is تَغَشَّاهُنَا, is a symbolical expression of the conjugal relationship. When you talk of conjugal, you are talking of man meeting his wife in the way that Allah allows. That is فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا. When the husband covers his wife meeting her, حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا, the wife conceives. She becomes pregnant. But khafifan, light pregnant, unnoticed. And that is true. The pregnancy at the early stage, the woman can pass by unnoticed. Until when the pregnancy becomes old, it exposes itself. You see it visibly. But at the early stage, the pregnancy is unnoticed. That is حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا. فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ day in, day out, until days pass by. Okay? فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ, when she was heavy, دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا, they asked Allah, their Lord, saying what? لَئِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Oh Allah, If you give us pious child out of this presidency, we shall surely be amongst those who thank you. Allah tells us this is the attitude of a lot of people. They will be begging Allah, asking him, praying, Allah give my wife pregnancy, let's have issue. When the woman is pregnant, they will be praying, oh Allah, salihan, salihan, salihan. We will thank you if you give us a God-fearing son. But Allah says in the next verse,
فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَ لَهُ شِرْكًا فِيمَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ
فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا. But when Allah bestowed on them their request, when their request was granted, they got the salih. Along the line, the lady delivered. She put down her burden. And fortunately, the salih was given to them. What is it expected of them? To thank Allah as they promised when they were looking for a pious son or child to be given to them. But Allah said, when we gave them salih, ja'ala lahu shuraka or ja'ala lahu shirkan, right? They placed they appointed a rival against Allah, meaning instead of thanking Allah. You hear today people saying, if not because of this doctor has been experienced, he is a renowned world-class gynecologist, she will have died. That is shirkan in this case. You are asking Allah, oh Allah, allow my wife to deliver safely. Now Allah has granted you your request. She has delivered safely, but instead you resorted to doing shirk. You begin to think it's because of the capacity, the expertise, the knowledge of the medical practitioner. That is shirk. Or some go and slaughter for jinn because they feel that it's because of the genie intervention that the wife gave birth peacefully. That is shirk. Previously, when you were asking Allah, why didn't you ask the shuraka? So he says, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا جَعَلَ لَهُ شُرَكَى فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. Allah is far exalted, far above those things they set them up against Allah. Allah is far above being associated with any other god or anything to worship for that matter. Next verse.
أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ.
أَيُشْرِكُونَ مَا لَا يَخْلُقُ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ. Oh, should they be associating a partner with Allah, such partners that they have neither created, instead they are created. Because if somebody regards a tree as a god beside Allah, then we ask you, can you confidently say these trees can create? Can they create? Can they? They cannot. The white man can build big ships like the big of this mosque, but cannot create the wing of a mosquito. La ilaha illallah. Man can build big airplane, but cannot create just any part of sugarcane. To tell you, the true power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next verse.
وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَصْرًا وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ.
وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ لَهُمْ نَصْرًا وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. Such partners they have set against Allah, cannot render any assistance to themselves. Walahum yunsarun, nor can they be helped. Because any idol that is worshipped is helpless, cannot talk, cannot hear, cannot do nothing to itself. So why do you worship such a thing? Next verse.
إن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يتبعوكم سواء عليكم أدعوتموهم أم
وإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يتبعوكم أو لا يتبعوكم سواء عليكم أدعوتموهم أم أنتم صامتون. Allah says, وَإِن دَعَوْتُمُوهُمْ وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ. This item, these things you take as God, if you were to invite them to guidance, they cannot even hear you, talk less of obeying you. Can they? Can't. If somebody is worshiping cow, can you say, hey cow, come and pray? Can you pray? Somebody is worshiping guinea fowl, hey guinea fowl, come and perform siyam, fasting, the month of Raj, read Quran, can they? So it is the highest point of stupidity for somebody to worship such things that can neither harm nor benefit him. وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ لَا يَتَبِعُوكُمْ سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. The same thing, or same with you. أَدَعَوْتُمُوهُمْ أَمْ أَنْتُمْ صَامِتُونَ. Regardless of whether you have invited them or you are quiet, they cannot hear nor understand you. Next verse.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ فَدَعُوهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ
صَادِقِينَ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ فَدَعُوهُمْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُوهُمْ, those that you call beside Allah, the idols you rally around, you call them, you worship them, عِبَادٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, they are servants, they are created beings like you are. فَدْعُوهُمْ, you are being challenged, okay, call them. فَلِسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ, let them respond to your needs if they can. إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. Next verse.
أَلَهُمْ أَرْجُلٍ يَمْشُونَ بِهَا أَمْ لَهُمْ أَيْدٍ يَبْطِشُونَ بِهَا أَمْ لَهُمْ أَعْيُنٍ يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا أَمْ لَهُمْ
Then the next ayah gives some set of questions, detailed questions concerning these things being worshipped. Allah says, أَلَهُمْ أَرْجُلٌ يَمْشُونَ بِهَا, do they have legs with which they walk on? Do they? That is number one. أَمْ لَهُمْ أَيْدٍ يَبْتِشُونَ بِهَا, or do the angels, do they have hands with which they touch and carry things? The answer is no. أَمْ لَهُمْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا, or do they have ears with which they can hear? Again, the answer is no. Then Allah says, قُلْ ادْعُوا شُرَكَاءَكُمْ, tell them they should call their partners, their place against Allah. Let them call them. ثُمَّ كِيدُونِ, and then plot against me. Go and do any plot against me. فَلَا تُنْذِرُونَ, don't wait for me. If you feel you have other gods beside Allah, invite them, bring your understanding, your knowledge, your intrigues, your meetings, your decisions, your resolutions, plot against me. I don't want you to even wait. This is a challenge. It's a challenging challenge. Next verse.
إن ولي الله الذي نزل الكتاب وهو يتولى الصالحين.
إن ولي الله الذي نزل الكتاب وهو يتولى الصالحين. My benefactor, my leader, my protector, that is Wali, is Allah. And He is the one that نزل الكتاب. May I ask you, what's the difference between nazala and anzala? At times Quran says anzala. In some places like here he says nazala. What's the difference between the two? Who can tell me the difference between anzala and nazala? The answer is no answer. Yes. That's the answer. When Allah says Anzala, it means the Quran was brought down or sent down in bulk from Allahul Mahfuz, the protected tablet, to a house next to our world or in the sky known as Baitul Izz. And that is the meaning of Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. It was taken completely from that tablet and brought to this house in the heaven here, or in the next sky here. And it was revealed instrumentally, in piecemeal, okay, munajjaman, depending on the situations. That is nazala. Okay. So it is Allah that sent out the Quran in piecemeal. Alright? And who is tawalla salihin? It is Allah who protects, who takes care of the pious servants. Allahumma ja'alna min as-salihin. Next verse.
الذين تدعون من دونه لا يستطيعون نصركم ولا أنفسهم ينصرون.
والذين تدعون من دونه لا يستطيعون نصركم ولا أنفسهم what ينصرون. As for those whom you call beside Allah, they have no ability to render any assistance to themselves. وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ They cannot help you, nor can they help themselves. That is, it's a repetition of what we have had already. Those whom people call beside Allah, they cannot assist the people calling them, nor can they help themselves now.
فإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يسمعون وتراهم ينظرون إليك وهم لا يبصرون.
وإن تدعوهم إلى الهدى لا يسمعوا وتراهم ينظرون إليك وهم لا يبصرون. If you were to call these idols to guidance, they cannot hear. وتراهم ينظرون إليك. You look at them, you see them looking at you with their big, big eyes. But in reality, they cannot see. There is a difference between yanzuru and yubsiru. You see, these organs known as eyes represent one function in human biological process, that is seeing, the power of seeing. But Your eye can look at somebody, but your mind is far away from him. So somebody can be looking at you, but without any basira. So Allah is saying, these unbelievers look at you as if they know. They know nothing, because they fail to understand the message of the Quran. That is the meaning of يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Next verse.
وزي الأفوى وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين.
خذ الأفوى وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. One single verse has three commandments. Number one, خذ الأفوى وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين. خذ الأفوى, be oft forgiven. You should cultivate the habit of forgiveness. Forgive those who wrong you. Forgive him that harms you. That is very important. وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, command people to do good things. That is number two. That's al-urf. What is al-urf? What makes something good? People's convention of the Sharia. I'm asking you, what makes something good? Somebody eats the flesh of pig. He says it's good. Somebody considers women dancing nakedly something good, part of culture. It's a cultural display. But you are saying it's not good. Okay, what's the yardstick of determining goodness of something? I'm asking you. Sharia, yes. Sharia for the Muslim is the determining factor for something being good or not good. Otherwise, there will be confusion. Because to somebody, to steal is good to him. Well, it's not according to your taste, your understanding. It is according to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-qabihu mastaqbahu al-shar'a wal-hasanu mastahsanahu al-shar'a. It's a rule. What is good is what Sharia says, this is good. What is bad is what the Sharia says, this is bad. It's not your test, your cultural heritage, your conventional sensitivities or realities. It is what Sharia says, yes, it becomes yes, no, it becomes no, but for those who are truly Allah-fearing. So Allah says in this single verse, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ and then وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, turn away from the ignorant folk. If they behave ignorantly, don't do as they do. This tells you, if somebody does something bad to you out of lack of knowledge, if you have the knowledge, don't pay him in the same coin. Yeah, try to be patient. You get me? Somebody told Imam Shafi'i, he lied against him. He said, well, if what you have said, I have done it, may Allah forgive me. But if you are lying against me, and he was lying, of course, may Allah forgive you. Again, if it were to be today, lawyers will have eaten money. It's a character defamation. I will institute a legal action against you. And then money will be flowing. To tell you, it is one of good things for a true Muslim to have the spirit of forgiveness. Forgive what should be forgiven. What is not forgivable cannot be forgiven. What is that? Now, shirk. If somebody collects people's property, he says, astaghfirullah, no. Your istighfar is to take their property back to them. And then you say, astaghfirullah. But if you harm somebody, you insult him, say astaghfirullah. Even insult, you must go and say, forgive me for insulting you. Otherwise, on the day of Al-Qiyamah, you will stand before Allah, he will be holding you before Allah, and your goodness will be taken and be given to him. His sin will be heaped on you. He will be empty and be thrown into the hellfire. Such a man is called Al-Muflis, the wretched one. One should be careful. Okay. خذ العفو وأمر بالعرف and then وأعرف عن الجاهلين. Next verse.
ما ينبغنك من الشيطان نفس فاستعذ بالله.
نعم.
إنه سميع عليم.
وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ فاستعذ بالله إنه سميع وعليم. الله says وإما ينزغنك من الشيطان نزغ. What is نزغ؟ نون بالفتحة زاي بالسكون غين بالضمتين نزغ. What is نزغ؟ نزغ is the demonic instigation. Satan instigates you to commit sin. That is a نزغ. Satan prompts you to abuse somebody. That is a نزغ. The evil one, Satan, asks you, he whispers in your heart, to look at bad things. That is instigation. So Allah says, when you have something like this, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ. Allah did not say, you should say, Satan, you are very bad, you are very stupid. No. He says, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. You should say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That's it. The strongest weapon against satanic instigation is to seek Allah's refuge against it. That is more important than insulting him. Yeah. Say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ السَّمِيعِ الْعَلِيمِ مِنْ هَمْدِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ. The surest remedy against satanic temptation is to recite this. فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. For Allah is سَمِيعٌ, is all-hearing. عَلِيمٌ, all-knowing. He hears you and he knows all things you do. Next verse.
إن الذين اتقوا الله مسهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون.
إن الذين اتقوا إذا مسهم طائف من الشيطان تذكروا فإذا هم مبصرون. And as for those who fear Allah, إذا مسهم طائف من الشيطان, when a band of Satan touches them, you know, Satan touches, there is what we call al-mas al-shaytani or al-mas al-jinni. Somebody can be touched by the Satan. Somebody can be possessed by the demon. We call it demonic possession. Or إذا مسهم, if he has instigated, because Satan constantly whispers in the heart. That's why Allah says, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي دُورِ النَّاسِ. Who whispers in the heart of people. Whispering. If you say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, he sneaks down. That is Al-Khannas. The ever-sneaking one. Okay, from this we understand Satan, through his agent, the jinn, touch people. You see a woman talking in a manner that is not commonsensical, so to say. She's just ranting, making jars, talking erratically on account of Satan has touched them. What do you do? Read the Quran. Read the Al-Azkar, the lightenings. for a remedy. Okay? وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَئِذْ بِاللَّهِ because إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا. When such people are touched by the Satan, تَذَكَّرُوا, they quickly remember Allah's name. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and there they are. They become, they realize the benefit. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and clearly they are in the right way, out of that trouble and quagmire. Next verse. وَإِخْوَانُهُمْ يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيِّ ثُمَّ لَا يُقْصُرُ. But his their friends, their brothers, help them, back them up in committing al-ghay. Ghay means of dhulm, wrongdoing and transgression. ثم لا يقصرون, they leave no stone unturned in perpetrating evil. Next verse.
وَإِذَا لَمْ تَأْتِهِمْ بِآيَةٍ قَالُوا لَوْلَا اجْتَبَيْتَهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَتَّبِعُ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَبِّي هَذَا بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِقَوْمٍ
وَإِذَا لَمْ تَأْتِهِمْ بِآيَةٍ قَالُوا لَوْ لَجْتَبَيْتَهَا. To the end of the verse. When he did not bring for them any ayah, Ya Rasulullah, in the event of not giving them any sign, ayah, and Prophet Musa brought ayah, it stopped. Prophet Noah, the she camel, that's the ayah here. Otherwise the Quran had been given to them. So in the event of not producing any signs, according to their human thinking, they will be saying, لَوْ لَجْتَبَيْتَهَا. Why didn't you concoct and fabricate such an ayah to bring to us, to prove that you are truthful? قُلْ, tell them, إِنَّمَا أَتَّبِعُ مَا يُحَى إِلَيْهِ. All I do is to follow that which was revealed unto me. I'm not a fabricator, a concoctor, a bringer of new things without the permission of Allah the Almighty. So all I do is I obey, I am subservient and subordinate to the revelation handed down unto me by my Creator. Okay? Mm-hmm. Who's the ayah? Naam? إِنَّمَا أَتْلُ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَبِّي هَذَا بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. What I have brought you are clear preachings from your Lord. وَهُدًى and guidance, وَرَحْمَةٌ and mercy, لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ, but for the believing people. اللهم اجعلنا من القوم الذين آمنوا يا رب العالمين. Next verse.
وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ.
وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ what? تُرْحَمُونَ. Allah says, when the Quran is rehearsed, when the Quran is read, when the Quran is recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ, lend your ears to it. Listen with rapt attention. Listen attentively. This is command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is haram when the Quran is being recited and you are talking. Now, it is haram for people to put Quran as their ringtone. We have been saying this constantly, you know it. It is haram for you to use Quranic recitation as your ringtone on your handset. Haram, haram, haram. For five reasons. I have been saying this constantly. One of the reasons, this ayah, Allah says, when it is recited, listen. I want to ask you, if somebody has Quran as his ringing tone, when the Quran is being recited, is his attention on the recitation or on the color? Tell me. Okay. Where is the ayah? Allah says, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْفِتُوا لَأَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Listen to it attentively. Your attention is not on the Quran. You are disobeying Allah. If you receive 100 calls a day, that means you have disobeyed Allah 100 times a day. 100 times 365. You know the great number at which you are putting yourself in a trouble. Why can't you use a different ringing tone? Cockcrow, for example. Oh, assalamu alaikum. Or the pouring of water. But the Quran to be used as ringing tone? No. Haram. For fat reasons, I just gave you one out of the remaining four. And I have been saying this many times, what number? Alhamdulillah. So when the Quran is recited, Allah says, listen to it. Allah did not say fasma'u, but he said fastami'u. Istama'a is different from sami'a. Fastami'u means listen to it attentively. That is why Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever Quran is being recited, when he heard people talking, he quoted this ayah. He said, keep quiet. Keep quiet. Just as Imam Malik, when he was reading hadith in Medina, if somebody talked, he will be saying, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي ولا تجهروا له بالقول. Don't raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet. When he talked in his presence, he assumed as if the Prophet was there, living. But today, like I have said, people will go during a preaching session, recitation of Quran will be played, and people are talking without worry. In their marketplaces, they will play Quran, people are talking. If people are discussing things important to their life, don't play the Quran, because you will cause them to cut off their stories, and it's also beneficial. And you will be causing them to commit sin. And you will have lion's share of being the causative agent of making them to commit sin. That is the Quran. It is the book, even the jinns, when they heard it being recited, they said, and see too. Read the ayah. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا
مِنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ فلما حضروه قالوا انفتوا فلما قضي ولوا الى قومهم منذرين
واذ صرفنا اليك نفرا من الجن يستمعون القران فلما حضروه قالوا انفتوا انفتوا فلما قضي ولوا الى قومهم منذرين قالوا يا قومنا انا سمعنا كتابا أنزل من بعد موسى. You see, Allah said, when we turn to your side a group of the jinn, while we are reading the Quran, when they heard it, they said to the people, listen, and to keep quiet. So even the angels, when they had the Quran, I mean the jinns, when they had it recited, they said, answer to. When it was finished, they turned back to their people, preaching today. So in the same case here, when the Quran is being recited, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا for what? لَعَلَّكُمْ perchance. Perchance, ترحمون, you will earn Allah's mercy. Next verse.
وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُن مِّنَ الْغَافِلِينَ
وَاذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ بالغدو والآصال ولا تكن من الغافلين واذكر ربك and remember your Lord في نفسك down your heart تضرعا in complete subordination وخيفة and out of fear of Allah ودون الجهر without necessarily articulating such a things openly. Okay? دون الجهر من القول. And you do this بالغدو in the morning والأصال and during the sunset. To tell you, you should be remembering Allah constantly. Like he said, أقم الصلاة لدلوك الشمس إلى غسق الليل وقرآن الفجر. إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. Remember Allah constantly. So, remember your Lord in your heart, out of subservience and out of fear for Him, without making things hard, your what, in the morning and during the sunset. وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ Don't you become amongst the غَافِلُونَ Who is the غَافِل? The غَافِل is the one that does not even call Allah's name. That is غَافِل. That is why every morning you should say لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله على كل شيء قدير. How many times? 100 times a day. The hadith says if anybody says these 100 times on Al-Qiyamah he will come with huge reward. Nobody will be near him unless such a person that did it as he did. If you can't say it 100 times, say it 10 times. Or during any liturgy, say it once. And reading the Quran constantly is part of dhikr. If you are reading Quran constantly, saying la ilaha illallah, la hawla illa billah, you cannot be amongst the ghafilun. Who is the ghafil? The absent-minded, the reckless guy, the uncaring Muslim. His mind is absent. That is ghafil. Next and the last verse in the chapter.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِندَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيُسَبِّحُونَهُ وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِندَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيُسَبِّحُونَهُ وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ This marks the end of chapter Al-A'raf. نسأل الله تعالى بركتها وخيراتها وجميع إخوة القرآن الكريم إن الذين عند ربك those who are with your Lord that is the angels those angels in the presence of your Lord لا يستكبرون عن عبادتي they are never arrogant they are not insolent when it comes to obeying Allah Even though they were angels, so important, gigantic, yet they didn't feel they were too important to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the meaning of لا يستكبرون عن عبادته ويصبحونه They glorify Him constantly وله يسجدون They bow down constantly for Him in sujood. When somebody comes here, Sujood is very important. What do you call this? Sujoodu at-tilawa. That is, you should read and perform sujood for the tilawa. This marks the end of this beautiful surah, Surah Al-A'raf, and we have to stop here to give chances for questions and answers until the time, inshallah, reaches. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين Okay, ask.
I want to ask you a question about the faith of the people.
Which hadith? No? But you want discussion on this hadith? كل مسكر حرام كل مسكر خمر وكل مسكر حرام. The hadith, maybe there is slight alteration in the wordings of the hadith. What I know is كل ما خامر الأقل فهو خمر. And the one I know again is كل مسكر حرام. Whatever that intoxicates is haram. Any drink, anything that is eaten but intoxicates is regarded as what? Haram. So even if it is your food and it is believed that it can intoxicate you, it can make you become tipsy, you cannot take it because it becomes haram. That's the meaning. And an alcoholic consumption, no matter how little it is, too haram. Because if somebody acquaints himself with drinking small amounts day in, day out, he will be acquainted with drinking large amounts. So because of this, the small amount must not be drunk, okay, in an effort to forestall a possibility of drinking the big amount. Wallahu alam wa bihi tawfiq. Any question? So today we have only one question and we want to reach 6 o'clock. So ask your question here or I will ask you. Yes, you either ask or I ask you. So before I ask you, I'll give you 2 questions here, 2 here, 2 here. That's all, 6. Think about it. Yes. Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You mean reciting kurosly in jama'ah? Okay. Differently. This one is reciting, you are reciting, is that the meaning? In this case it is allowed. But preferably it is better you read it individually so that you don't disturb your friend, your brother. But if because of necessity you do it, nobody can say it is haram. But it's better you do it one by one or individually, that's much better. Wallahu alam wa bihi tawfiq. One question remaining from this side. Yes. I said it, maybe you are not here, brother. People playing Quran in marketplaces, maybe for advertisement, for selling, for marketing, that, well, it depends if somebody is putting it because he wants people to know I am selling this and that. If that's the reason. And number two, maybe in a place that is predominantly non-Muslim, he wants to advertise or he wants to propagate Islam. That is quite different from somebody deliberately playing it just for the sake of allowing people to talk and play. Yeah, wallahu alam wa bihi tawfiq. 2 questions here are finished. Written one? Okay, let's hear it. Wa alaikum salam. Come on. Are you talking of both prayers and asr or what? If somebody misses zuhr and by the time he comes to the mosque wanting to pray, it was asr, he can make his niyyah intention and pray behind the imam praying asr while he is praying zuhr. That is acceptable. But if it is going to conflict and confuse you, stop it. The reason of the learning, the understanding, it is lawful. I don't know if this is the question you're asking. He missed Asr. Maybe he didn't get Asr. He came and made some people pray. Asr, okay. Yeah, he can join them. Of course, even though the views, there are different views among the scholars. Saying if the prayer that is known has been prayed, each and every Muslim should pray just alone. But the best answer is that you can join others, because the hadith says prayer said congregationally is 25 times more rewardable than the one said alone. Yeah. Yes, two, we have finished. Wa alaikum salam. Let me hear, step by step, here. I'll come to you, Jazakallah khair. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I think we have answered something like this. I would like to say the mosques have a system. If people are observing adhkar, the people reading the Quran should read it in a suppressed voice so as not to disturb or take the attention away. But reading in the highest volume of one's voice, that is not correct and is not even good. You should read it silently or discreetly to your hearing. Wallahu alam. Remain one question from this angle. No question. Yes. Written question? Wa alaikum salam. Now? If somebody is reciting a surah that contains sujood tilawa, isn't it? The prostration for recitation while standing, when he comes there, he bows down. Example, he is reciting. He comes to an area of the Quran where there is sujood. Like where? وَخَرَّ صَاجِدًا وَأَنَابَ. He goes down. Okay? Like this. I just want to give the practice to see how it's done. But sir, if you are reciting the Quran, you come across any point there is sujood, do it. It is different from the sujood of what? Shukr. When a good news is broken to you, you have cleared your papers, you pass your wife, your examination is okay, you have your first class, 2-1, whatever. Don't say hooray. No. Bow down. That's the example. And if it is this sujood of shukr, Ibn Hazm says, whether you have ablution or not, just do it. Unlike that of tilawa, that has, you have to be in a state of what? Ablution. Wallahu alam. Yes. Wa alaikum salam. For? Well, depending on the methodology, if you do it based on one marabu, one malam, one sheikh told you so amount, then it is bid'atic and not sunnatic. But if you just do it out of your volition, you know it is to be done, it is rewardable. Yeah, because you should mention Allah's name as constant as possible. Yeah, wallahu alamu bihi tawfiq. Have we finished here? Okay, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. والوالدات يرضين أولادهن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أراد أن يتم الرضاعة. The parents should suckle, should breastfeed their children for two complete years. But for those who want to complete the cycle of breastfeeding, I don't know what you mean by this. What do you want to make out of it? The ayah says, parents should breastfeed their children for how many years? Two. Somebody may be thinking, okay, this is family planning. Maybe that's your area of being confused. No confusion. In fact, it is the ayah we're even quoting to counterbalance the sayings of those clamoring for family planning. We say, look, our family has been planned by Allah in the light of this verse. We don't need anybody to come and tell us anything. Our Quran is okay. We quote this ayah. Because I believe if a woman puts to bed, this long period of time, 2 years, is enough to bring back to her what she lost during childbearing. The vitalities of the body lost are returned back during this very period. 2 years is enough. So that has been planned by Allah. So the people clamoring for family planning in their own style, why are they blind to this Quranic injunction? Don't be confused. That is our own planning, the divinely ordained one. But their own is a man-made one. They cannot be the same. I hope it is clear. Wallahu a'lam wa bihi tawfiq. Yes. On Asham. Asham prayer is the prayer we offer during the month of Ramadan after Isha prayer. It is called Asham. Asham is a Kanuri word, meaning fasting. Kanuri man tells you Nda Asham. You say in Glasgow, for example, how is fasting? He says, okay. So we say, Sallar Asham, Sallar Azumi in Hausa. It is also called Taraweeh. It is also called Tahajjud. It is still called Qiyam Ramadan. You do it 8 units, plus 3 rakat for witr, 11 rakat, according to the hadith of Aisha. If you do it 13, you are okay. These two hadith are very, very powerful. Anybody offering 20 rakat or 15 or whatever, that is just ijtihad. But the narration talk about only 11 or 13 rakat. That is why when the 10 days of Ramadan, the last 10 days approach, some are of the view that they should suspend even praying Asham. Otherwise, they will be praying 8 rakat and wake up for their tahajjud again 8 rakat. They will be going against the clear teaching of the hadith. Because of this, they suspend offering prayers when the last 10 days of Ramadan come to just pray Isha and wake up in the night and pray 8 rakat to get the number. I hope it is clear to you. Wallahu alam. Yes. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Naam? Naam. It's better you face the Qibla. But Ibn Hazm, as I can understand and remember, is of the view you can live anywhere. But it's better you face the Qibla. Enough. Yes. وعليكم السلام. Come again. You mean after marriage? And so what? He wants to say there are some women that constantly give birth. The rate at which they bear children is constant. Is that what I'm saying? She gives birth, soon she takes in again. So does that mean you have to do family planning? No. Family planning is an evil machination planted and plotted against the Ummah, whether you know or no. I told you the Quran has given us, Quran gives us the option. والوالدات يرضئن أولادهن حولين كاملين لمن أرادت مرضاء. Let the parents breastfeed their children for 2 years. So my advice is that if your wife has given birth, try and control yourself. Okay? Allow her to rest for 2 consecutive years. The child should breastfeed well. But you know human nature. A lot cannot accept patience. So there is the option of what you call coitus eruptus, known as al-azl. If one can do that, but preferably why can't you be patient? Okay? Or if there is any other alternative, which is within the bounds of Sharia. But giving birth constantly is not, cannot and should not be any excuse for the so-called family planning, which is something imported with the intention of inflicting havoc on the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That should have answered the question. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa bihi at-tawfiq. Now, mashallah. عليكم السلام
انت هذا
كما جيم concerning whether there is any verse that allows Muslims to enter the church in the Quran, you hardly come across such a verse. But in the annals and historical account of Islam, there are proofs to that. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu entered the church in Jerusalem. In fact, he prayed inside the church. He says, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. So if there is a compelling necessity, based on this, you can enter. But if you enter because you are a friend to them, it's a disobedience, it's a sin. So your intention determines legality or otherwise of entering. Am I communicating? Are you getting me? No, you don't get me. Someone can enter a church if he is invited, please come and preach Islam to us, but in our church. Can you go? Can you go? He doesn't understand me. An imam, a sheikh, alfa, malam, ustaz, whatever, has been invited. Please come to our church, preach Islam to us. We want you to come and prove that Jesus is not the Son of God. We know you are knowledgeable, but in our church, we are going to call the members. Can he go? Yes, no. But somebody says, you know, we have been friends together since our school days. I'm getting married in church. I want you to come and be part of the officials there. Can he go? Ha. So going to the church or not going depends on the circumstances. So just for mere love, affection is haram. But if there is something beneficial to the deen, the answer is yes. Reason I gave you. But on the other hand, can a Christian enter a mosque? I say yes. Depending on the situation. Because Safwan ibn Assal, a mushrik, was tied inside the mosque of the Prophet ﷺ. Hormuz, when he came to represent the Sassanid Empire, looking for ceasefire against the war of what? Qadisiyah, he entered a mosque. But in the contemporary situation, we say no, until if we are satisfied that he's coming to our mosque, there is an important and overriding maslaha, benefit, derivable from such an entry. Otherwise, we block the chances for such a thing. And I hope that answers the question. Allahu alam bi tawfiq. Now, written question, written. Well, if you mean Christians will come to show what you call solidarity, to the kind of a goodwill message visit, just to show what? We are one. You know the meaning? Okay, to show what? To prove what? Or not trouble? There is trouble in the Aqidah anyway. When he comes, do you tell him, say la ilaha illallah, he believes in that? Come on, we agree. It is better we live in peace and stability. That's good. If they shall come to the mosque for a special reason, and we believe that can help in, you know, putting a remedy to the troubles happening, to that extent, if there is a compelling necessity, there is no problem to that. Okay? But I know one part of the fatwa will tell you no, because they are najas. And Allah says, innamal mushrikuna najasun. They are impurity because of their aqidah. So why can't we find a common place outside the mosque, the premises? Let's discuss. We too, in the premises of their church, if they feel we can enter, you enter. So this depends on the people on grounds to explain the position of the deen without any fear or favor. Allahu alam. Sorry. Like how? That means you are a man providing benches for saying Allah has a son. Yeah, it's a business now. A carpenter claims, well, I am the one supplying their chairs. Yeah, the chairs they sit on and abuse Allah, you are the one providing because of money. Come on, what are we saying? La ya akhil kareem. It is wrong. Being a carpenter or a woodworker or whatever, you work there and, okay, please let me ask you. If you supply the table and the chair to do what? To do the service. What does the service entail? Does it say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah? Does it say God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost? Okay. Do you believe in this? Tell me, sinful act, you don't do it. What do you tell me somebody assisting and helping the cause of disobeying Allah? This is a prostitute. You tell her, okay, take this money. You eat and become strong so that people will come and look at you and they satisfy themselves by you. But I don't commit zina war. My hand not is there, but take the money, eat. Do you think you will be free? This is an armed robber. He's committing armed robbery. You say, okay, take this gun, but my hand not there. Yes, Allah says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. People need to understand what Islam is really talking about. Our understanding of the deen at times is very shallow at times. So the issue of your business does not hold water. We should be careful. Yes. Is it tomorrow or next tomorrow? Okay. Really, this is one of the beautiful things Micah has been presenting on annual basis, really. Well-researched talks, explanations, expositions on issues bordering on knowledge. And coming to attend is of great importance because you too, you learn. You become morally rearmed. There's a kind of moral rearmament, okay? So I, on my part, also call you to try and come one and all, your families, your friends, extend invitation to other friends and well-wishers. May Allah bless all of us as we all come, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalina, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.